1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. A development in the Georgia election interference case. A judge in Fulton County separating out the trial dates of several of the defendants, 19 of them in all, including former President Trump. It means Trump and 16 others will not be tried on October 23rd with defendants Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough, who filed for speedy trials. DA Fani Willis wanted all of the defendants tried together. Midnight tonight, the deadline to get a deal or a strike between the United Auto Workers and Detroit's Big Three automakers. The UAW wants raises, pensions and benefits for new hires and a four-day work week. Pat Rossi, ready to walk the picket line.
It looks on paper like we're asking for a lot, but a lot of people have been left behind.
The automakers say they need to cap costs as they build more electric cars. MGM Resorts in Las Vegas dealing with a crippling cyber attack. Kiosks, casino apps, elevators, and room keys affected, with computer systems down. This is ABC News. More international aid headed into Libya after deadly flooding this week in the eastern part of the country. At least 6,000 people are dead, and officials fear that number could soar with thousands more still missing. An alligator intruding on a trip to a Texas lake for a bunch of Girl Scouts. ABC's Jim Ryan has a story.
About half a dozen members of a Houston-area Girl Scout troop were splashing around in Lake Raven at Huntsville State Park.
Look how big it is!
When someone spotted the 14-foot alligator swimming right toward those 11-year-olds. David Selig shared video of the incident with Storyful.
The sheriff came here and he's gonna close the beach and so nobody can swim anymore.
All the kids got out of the water shaken but unhurt. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And a lot of green is going to spread across the country. The Department of Agriculture is announcing over $1 billion in funding today for projects to plant and care for trees in all 50 states. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A Kakana police officer shot a man while looking for an underaged runaway. Kakana police tell us the incident happened around 8 p.m. last night near the intersection of Joyce and Diedrich Streets. Police got a tip that a runaway, a minor, and another man might have been in a stolen car. Moments after approaching the car to check it out, the officer shot a 28-year-old Oshkosh man who was in the driver's seat. He was taken to the hospital and is in stable condition. Authorities say Appleton police will be investigating. Fincantieri Marinette Marine launched the USS Marinette last weekend. This Saturday, the boat will be commissioned at 10 a.m., followed by free tours. This is only the second time ever the Navy will commission a ship in the city it was built in and named for. People will need to get tickets by Friday at 12 noon. You can do so and find more information on the event at ussmarinette.org. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break, he said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS,
and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah.
Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, well, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albo Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albo Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad. Here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Matinere is on the board. We are having fun today on this pretty beautiful Thursday.
It is. It's
beautiful,
gorgeous.
Beautiful fall day. It's not too hot, not too cold. We're very excited about it. Just the, we've got a lot of texts still from the first hour of people with thoughts on, people are fired up. I love when people are fired up.
Me too.
And I think Greg Bach said that yesterday, of trying to keep track of the conversations that were happening across social media with all of the politics in happening in Wisconsin right now. And I actually got a text from our friend CJ Safer, who is on the other side of the aisle.
Yep.
But we love talking to him because we love having those conversations. He sent me a text last night. He's like, man, you're going on maternity leave right when things are getting good, huh?
You'll be checking in, though.
I will certainly be checking in. And so, but it is Thursday, so it is time to check in for our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you today, friend?
I'm good. I'm checking in from Austin's Travel Field at the Green Bay Airport on my way out of town to go take care of some lovely women in Arizona.
So back to Arizona. Has it cooled off there?
It's cool. It's, you know, highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid-50s.
So cool,
but
for Arizona.
I'm really looking cool for Arizona. I mean, it's northern Arizona, so it's different than Phoenix.
Fair. So back on the road, but breaking news this morning that I have not actually gotten to dive into yet, but it sounds like you have a lot more information than I do as far as the big news of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin deciding to resume abortion care and abortion services in Madison and Milwaukee. So what can you tell us about that?
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. We have been hoping, well, we've been just, you know, really, we don't think that this 1849 law has ever actually been enforceable, but the criminal penalties are scary. Mm-hmm. They're preventing doctors from providing care. They're preventing people from seeking care. And it's been, frankly, horrific for women in Wisconsin. But now we are going back to providing care only in Madison and Milwaukee. So there will be one clinic open in each of the biggest cities in our state. Sheboygan is not ready for prime time yet. And, you know, that's really it. So this is a game changer in Wisconsin. We will have abortion services as soon as Monday in Madison and Milwaukee. But the rest of the state still lacks access.
And to be fair, that is what the situation was besides Sheboygan, even before the overturn of Roe and the Dobbs decision came down, there was only three locations in Wisconsin that, at least for Planned Parenthood, where you could get access to abortion care, correct?
There were only three locations in Wisconsin for anybody.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
Were two clinics,
so it's
in Milwaukee, one in Milwaukee, one in Sheboygan, one in Madison, one in Sheboygan. So yeah, I mean, the vast majority of Wisconsin did not have access before, and I think it's important. Despite, like, this is really good news, and it's going to be a game changer for so many people, but it does not solve our fundamental problem, which is most Wisconsinites do not have access to abortion yeah. care, to full spectrum reproductive care in Wisconsin.
And so that is a great point to keep hammering home. And I know you're a doctor, not a lawyer, but kind of when this news broke in the last hour and we touched on it for a second without getting to read much about it, I have to imagine that, you know, like you said, there was before, so much of this has been about risk, like whether it's what the law had said in Wisconsin, but the same thing that was when it was the civil suit in Texas that said, like, any person can sue you for $10,000 for aiding and abetting anyone trying to seek an abortion. It's like, who's willing to risk that without knowing the legal ramifications? And so basically has, from what you understand, is it that enough has happened with the Wisconsin challenge to the 1849 abortion case that lawyers are now looking at this saying it is worth, we think that the risk is low enough legally and there is too much to be gained by once again offering these services that it is worth making this decision?
Yes.
Okay.
And that stems from Judge Schlippers. She hasn't issued a final ruling yet, but she has definitely telegraphed that her interpretation of this case is that this 1849 law does not apply to consensual abortion. It actually applies to feticide. So that means that we should be able to provide and receive abortion care in Wisconsin.
Which, wow. That was not expected. I texted a friend who works for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin while we were at commercial. And I go, holy crap. He goes, yeah, this was a hard one to sit on. This was a hard one to keep a secret. And so I'm going to try to get Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, on tomorrow so we can talk more about that. But I know for you, because as you've said, as we've talked to you when you're in Arizona and you've been in Minnesota and, you know, I think this is fair to say, but one of the reasons you've been traveling so much is because you couldn't practice in Wisconsin. It was too, talking about risk, like it was too risky for you to be able to do the thing that you have dedicated your life doing, which is providing care to women and to pregnant women. And this has to be a huge relief for you right now that you get to be home.
I haven't even had time to think about it because it's all just happened. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, like I said, I'm at the airport and I got a text from, I am one of these providers. So I got a text from the medical director, just explaining the scheduling and when we're going to start and some odds and ends. And I didn't realize the press release was coming out because, you know, like your friend at Planned Parenthood said, this has been brewing. Yeah. We've been planning for this because, you know, you have to staff up and you have to be prepared so that you can provide quality care. This isn't just about, you know, providing any care. It's about providing quality care and making sure that patients are very well taken care of, heart, body, mind, soul, the whole spiel. So, I haven't had time to think about it, but there's going to be a moment, I think, maybe when I'm on the plane where it kind of hits.
Well, this will be, like I said, we're going to talk more about this and understand more of what it means, but at least it is a step forward that you don't have to leave the entire state, at least for some women in and around the Milwaukee-Madison area. Obviously, as you said, Dr. Lyerly, it's still a huge gap for a lot of people across the state, especially places where there is a desert of care and providers when it comes to women's health. But it's still a win for today. So we're very excited about that. But I also don't want to totally abandon what we were going to talk about today, because I think that is also very important. You found this article as far as, and it kind of ties into women's health, because I think, at least what I know about it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, when we talk about maternal mortality rates and how unbelievably high they are, considering where we stand on the global scale of countries, but also women's pain in general, sometimes people of color, mm-hmm. and who gets listened to and who doesn't by their doctors. And sometimes you hear these stories that bubble up that people get really sick. Sometimes they even die because their doctors weren't listening to them. And mm-hmm. how often, I mean, we hear the stories about it, but do you feel like this happens more often than we'd is it more often or less often than it feels like when it comes to what we read in the news?
It's really hard for me to know. I guess our listeners would probably know much better than me. I'm always thinking, am I sharing information that my patient is understanding? Because sometimes it requires a lot of explanation, and you don't know what someone's level of understanding of their own body is. And, you know, patients don't want to disappoint their doctors, so they're nodding their heads. And, you know, I try to check for understanding, but I don't know if they're really going to walk away feeling like they were well counseled and that they're taking that home and they can actually use the information that we've talked about. And, you know, another thing is medications. Like, there are so many times medications are expensive that I will recommend a test or a drug and my patient will leave and they won't follow through on picking that thing up or getting that test done because it's just too expensive or it's too cumbersome to get it. So I always wonder, and I try to make sure before I say goodbye, I try to make sure that I say, you know, are you satisfied with our visit today? Is there anything else I can do to help? But sometimes we are just limited by the time that we have to spend with our patients. So I'm always wondering, and when I saw this article, I thought to myself, yes, I want my patients to be empowered and to make sure they walk into every visit with their doctors and they're ready and they've got the information they need and they leave feeling like that was effective, that was worthwhile.
And so there's six different things that this is an article from Time that had said six things to do if your doctor isn't listening to you. And so I thought we could just kind of go through, let's get to the first one before the break right now. But as far as what you specifically think is really useful for patients to know when they're going into their doctor, whether it's their general practitioner, whether it's their OB, whether it's I'm contemplating getting surgery. So as far as this first one, spend time preparing for every appointment. Is that something that you feel like really patients should take heed on?
I think that is the one thing you have total control over. Okay. And it's okay for you to write it down. Like, what are the things that I'm worried about? What are the things that I want to make sure that we accomplish? If you write it down and you practice it, you say it out loud, the only way that you can communicate effectively is if you are clear and you're efficient in the way that you are getting that message across in that very short time period. So practice what you want to say and know what you want to get out of the visit before you even walk into the doctor's office.
And what's an example of that, just as far as before we go to the break, but what does that look like to practice, or what does it look like to be that clear? Like, is there specific language that is more effective? Or because I think sometimes the patient, you think, well, you're the expert. Like, I don't know. So can you give an example?
Right. Yeah, I think especially in gynecology, sometimes I'll see people who think like maybe they're having pelvic pain, or pain with intercourse is actually pretty common. And I think people are afraid to talk about it. So they'll come in and they'll say something doesn't seem quite right. And they're not ready to actually define the problem, but they want you to take a look and just make sure that everything looks normal. But things can look normal, but still feel very wrong. So it's really helpful if you're having pain with intercourse to be able to describe, when does it happen? What else is going on? What are the other signs and symptoms? Are you taking other medications? How's your relationship? There's so many other components that factor into what's going on while you're having sex.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get to the other parts on this list that you really think people should take to heart. Dr. Kristen Lierley is with us for public service announcement, and this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah!
You know.
know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 69. Southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 53. Tonight, clear skies and quiet. High temperatures reach up to 74. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance for scattered storms Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. Chance for scattered rain showers and highs in the mid-60s on Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinier on the board, and we are doing our weekly public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, talking about an article from Time that said the 6 things you should do if you feel like your doctor is not listening to you. And the first one on the list was prepare for your every appointment. Or know what you're going to talk about. Practice what you want to say. Know what you want to get out of it. And so with the 8 minutes that we have left, Dr. Lyerly, what else from this article really stood out to you that you think more people should know about?
All of these points are important.
Okay.
But I think really being vulnerable, not being afraid to say exactly what you want. Classically, it's that hand on the door, like right before your doctor is ready to walk out, that you are comfortable enough to share that deeply held information. Don't be afraid. Get it out right away. Be vulnerable, and that will help us solve your problem. Also, ask specific questions, and don't be afraid to ask for clarification. There is no stupid question when it comes to your healthcare. Another really helpful thing is take somebody with you. An advocate who comes with you will hear things that you don't hear and may ask questions on your behalf that you don't think of asking. So just having that extra pair of ears and taking notes, that can be an incredibly helpful asset as you're reviewing what the plan of action is and where you go from there. And then I think the other big thing is be relentless. If you don't have a satisfying experience, then tell your doctor what you need to make it satisfying. I'm not understanding what you're saying, or this medication is not going to work for me. Can we try something different? You deserve to be able to walk away from your visit having your problem solved, or at least being on the road to getting it solved. And the only way you can do it is if you can advocate for yourself.
And then at what point would you say is time to maybe find a different doctor? If you feel like you've done these different things and you're still not being heard, what is kind of the point where like, well, maybe this is just not the right fit. We don't communicate well with each other.
Exactly what you're saying. If you've got that gut feeling like this is just not working, I don't think she hears me, or the solutions that she's coming up with are not going to work for me. Every doctor is not the same. Every patient is not the same. And if that mojo isn't there, then find somebody else. I never would discourage my patients from getting a second opinion. I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. I'm a person. So if there is something else that something you feel like, for example, hormone therapy for menopause, I don't offer alternative medications, but there are alternative medications out there that really work well for people. I'll send you to somebody else who does offer those things. I want you to have the care that you need and deserve.
Dr. Lally, I wonder sometimes, though, if women are like, if I switch doctors, I'm going to hurt her feelings.
It's like hairstylists. It's like, will they know? Will they know I stopped going to get them to get my haircut?
I think that happens. But I mean, definitely people feel that way and doctors feel that way. Like, was I not doing a good job? But, you know, ultimately, we have to set our egos aside mm-hmm. and focus on the problem at hand, which is this is about healthcare. This is about you, not about hurting somebody's feelings. We can set it aside.
That is a good point. That's like a very specifically female question.
It is.
I just don't want to hurt their feelings.
Exactly.
I will suck it up because...
Because she's going to feel bad and I don't want her to feel bad.
Well, this is really good.
You're right.
Yeah. It's just our plight in life. And, well, this is really good. And I think it's an important... It's probably something that doesn't get talked about because I feel like the running joke sometimes is, you know, how much you tell your doctor you drink when they ask versus how much you actually drink. Uh-huh. And there's this gap sometimes with the embarrassment of how honest we want to be with our doctors. Like you said, being vulnerable, asking follow-up questions and not being afraid to sound stupid. Like certain human emotional reactions that we have up in our conversations with ordinary people in our lives that like the conversation needs to be different when it comes to your healthcare and when it comes to your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to advocate for yourself. This is like a business transaction. Your doctor is not your friend. Your doctor is there to serve you and to help you solve a problem. So approach it that way and don't worry about your doctor's feelings. They are there to help you.
And your dentist isn't mad at you because you don't floss twice a day, right? That too?
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute.
No, I think they get mad.
Get mad though? Because then it just means more business for them if they're mechanic.
It's about your gums, Kristen. It's about the gums.
Oh, all right. Well, the last thing, we only have 2 minutes left, Dr. Lyerly, but I found this as someone who is the first person to do a Walgreens or CVS haul at the first sign of being sick and being congested and just wanting anything to help me make myself feel better. The FDA this week basically said all of your Sudafed, all of that stuff that claims it'll clear you up, doesn't work. Did this surprise you when this came out?
Oh, no. They've been talking about this forever. Phenylephrine, to be very clear, it's phenylephrine and it's taken orally. It's in, 250 different medications?
Yeah.
Phenylephrine doesn't work when it's taken orally. The other Sudafed, the pseudoephedrine, the stuff that they put behind the counter, that actually does work. So there are things that you can do. I would say for the time being, I know we're short on time, just if you look at the box and it says phenylephrine, don't buy it. You can use the phenylephrine nasal spray.
Okay.
You can use Afrin, the oxymetazoline nasal spray, but those sprays you don't want to use for more than 3 days because you can get kind of addicted to it. You can have this reflexive congestion. Oh. You don't want that. So you can use those medication nasal sprays for up to 3 days. You can use a neti pot. You can use a saline nasal spray. You can use the pseudoephedrine. You have to go behind the counter to get it, but it does work. And then, of course, if you've got an underlying condition like an allergy, you want to treat it with an allergy-related medication like an antihistamine or a nasal steroid spray.
Okay, so the message is don't waste your money on Mucinex and oral, you know, some of these other things that they claim that they're going to clear you up because they're not. So save your money. Dr. Lyerly, mm-hmm. we have to let you go. That's I hope you have a very safe flight and can't wait to have you back more often in the state of Wisconsin after that breaking news from Planned Parenthood. We appreciate you so much.
Oh, girl, I'm thrilled. Be safe out there. All right.
All right. We'll be back with Chris Drosner, the Beer Baron, right after this. How do you feel about pumpkin beer? Let us know. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Just say if it's too late for me.
Mm-hmm.
your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Georgia, a Fulton County judge hearing arguments on whether to allow the defense to interview grand jury members in the racketeering case involving former President Trump and 18 co-defendants. Earlier, the judge ordered the trials of Kenneth Cheeseborough and Sidney Powell be severed from the others. ABC's Olivia Rubin is in Atlanta.
This is a big loss here, this ruling, for the Fulton County DA, who just earlier this week had again asked the judge not to sever the case, noting that the office was well capable of trying a case against 19 defendants all at once, and that it would be a burden on the DA's office to break it up. But the judge essentially found the exact opposite.
United Auto Workers set to strike if a new contract deal with three big automakers isn't reached by midnight when the current contract expires. The cruise liner stuck off the coast of Greenland, now free. There are 200 passengers on board. No reports of injuries. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Impeaching Janet Protasiewicz is back on the table. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells Wisconsin Eye he's asked a group of former state Supreme Court justices to look into lawmakers' options if the new justice does not recuse herself from cases involving Wisconsin's legislative maps.
I want them to do an independent analysis without bias or some kind of a lobbying effort or a media frenzy. But I do believe we'll have something back in the next week or two.
A Republican bill to make the Legislative Reference Bureau draw maps is a non-starter with Governor Evers.
A man is seriously injured after crashing into a construction vehicle on I-41. The Wisconsin DOT says the crash happened Tuesday night in the northbound lanes around 8:45. Outagamie County sheriffs say they suspect the driver of the car was under the influence. He was airlifted to a hospital. No one else was seriously hurt.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it's that time of month that we take a break from our sports updates on Thursdays to talk to Wisconsin's very own beer baron, Chris Drosner, to get a beer update. And Chris, we're happy to have you, but I'm very excited about this topic because I feel like it's a little controversial. How are you doing?
Oh, boy. I'm doing great. How are you, Kristen?
I'm good. I'm 13 days away from giving birth, so we're just hanging in there.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's drink a little beer for you by what do you call it? By proxy?
By proxy. Yeah. Some pumpkin beer by proxy.
Talk about it and, yeah.
All right. So you brought this up yesterday as we were talking about what is the local and latest beer news, and that we, you know, despite the fact that over Labor Day weekend, it was 95 degrees, it is starting to feel like fall, which means pumpkin spice lattes back in Starbucks, back in Dunkin' Donuts. People who love their pumpkin love their pumpkin, and that does not preclude it from also being included in beer.
Yeah, I think pumpkin beer probably was like one of the emblems of like the pumpkin spice everything that kind of peaked. I think it peaked probably a few years ago, but yeah, I mean, it's something that actually works. I mean, spice beers are relatively common, and mostly when you're talking about pumpkin beers, you're talking about pumpkin spice. I mean, that's the thing that really drives it. Typically, you're going to find it on kind of a malty ale, and you know, some of them are actually brewed with pumpkin, but that's a pretty mild flavor. It's a little vegetal, I guess. But it doesn't have a whole lot of flavor.
No.
Like, I don't know, nobody's making pumpkin pies without all the spices, right?
So, nope.
And the trick with these beers is definitely balancing that, you know, the different mix of spices. We, you know, we talk about pumpkin spice, but there's nutmeg, there's cinnamon, there's allspice, there's clove, there's all those things are kind of in balance. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to kind of come at it. And I think the way you balance the spices within the spices and then that overall spiciness against the you know, malt or kind of the rest of the beer is really important to how good they are. But,
that's such a good point. I mean, as far as when we mistake pumpkin spice for pumpkin, I kind of think the same thing when I talk about like grape flavoring versus what grapes actually taste like very different, not the same thing.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And these do tend to be like, either you love pumpkin beer or you hate them. And even among like kind of like beer geeks who kind of take everything very seriously. A lot of beer people really love pumpkin beers, but the people who don't, oh my God, they won't shut up about how much they hate them.
Do you feel like you're kind of the people who like pumpkin beers are just people who are into seasonal beers in general? So it's the same thing with like the summer beers that are more citrusy, the winter beers, and like are people who are just more open to go with the evolution of the seasons, or is it something specific with pumpkin that people are either they're in or out with?
No, I think it's the latter. I think you love this stuff and are way into it. Or, I mean, I think I do. I also think that sometimes it's not really necessarily beer people who are into these. You know, this might be one of the few beers that you drink in like all year, basically. I don't have any like evidence of that, but I suspect that's the case.
Got it. Okay. So then how popular are they? And like, how much is it something that is as popular and as pined over as like the pumpkin spice latte?
I would say, I mean, no, I mean, you know, obviously it's an alcoholic beverage, so it's a little bit different. But still like, I think that they, you know, it's pretty easy to see, like if you took a snapshot of a beer inventory at a bottle shop or a grocery store or something, you know, in 2015 or 2014 versus today and counted up all the pumpkin beers there, I bet it's at least like probably less than half of that kind of high watermark when everybody was kind of doing one. Some of the breweries that make some of the most popular pumpkin beers, it's like almost all they, I mean, it might be 50, 60, 70% of their overall volume every year. So that's really, I think a lot of other brewers recognized that and said, hey, there's something going on here. We should try this and see if we can make a big splash. And that led to, you know, almost every brewery, it seems like, doing one of these. And you know, it's like, I don't think that's a reason that it crashed, but, you know, you just don't see, you see very, I don't know, I took a spin through my local bottle shop, Ray's, this week, and I saw maybe 10 which is, you know, and some of 10, maybe a dozen. And I feel like that's fine. Like that's appropriate.
That's
I
enough.
Mean, it was really crowding out the Oktoberfest season, you know, because these two seasons really overlap as far mm-hmm. as fall, which of course really begins in like late July or August. You know, the fall seasonal beers. I think we've talked about
when
that.
The Halloween decorations go out at Walgreens and you're like, oh, it's still really hot and I'm in shorts, but I guess fall is here.
Officially.
We're talking to Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. So I guess to close out the pumpkin beer conversation, because I do want to talk about mm-hmm. Milwaukee Magazine while we have you. What would you say for people who do like pumpkin beers of the Wisconsin breweries that make pumpkin beers, which ones would you recommend?
Yeah, we actually have quite a few. I'm a bit of an agnostic on pumpkin beers. I don't love them, but I do enjoy one here or there every fall. And I think that I would say the best one in the state is probably Point Brewery makes. They have a series of beers called Whole Hog. Let me not stumble on that phrase. It's called Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale. And this one is, it's a little bit bigger. I think it's like 8% ABV. And I feel like how much you kind of get into a beer, you know, that determines that it's alcohol content. And the bigger ones tend to be a little bit richer and fuller flavor, which is kind of what you're going for with pumpkin beer.
Mm-hmm.
Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale has won like 2 gold medals, like at the best beer contest in America. So it's well done. It's nicely balanced, big. So definitely recommend that one. That one's probably at the front of the pack. Lakefront actually has 2 pumpkin beers every year. They do a pumpkin lager that's a little bit lighter, and it's interesting that it's a lager instead of an ale. But they also have pumpkin imperial ale, which is a really big beer aged in brandy barrels. So you get that kind of oaky vanilla, you know, that complements the pumpkin spices really nicely. And there is pumpkin in both of those beers as well. And then one other one I'll mention, this one's another big daddy, called Pumpkin Spice Veneration from Three Chiefs Brewing in Sheboygan. And that one is, it uses a Belgian quad as its base. And that's a really rich, intense, super malty, very complex beer on its own. And then they use, you know, the pumpkin spice mix. It sounds like a Belgian quad is like a very traditional and kind of hallowed style made by monks in Europe, you know. But so putting pumpkin spice on it might seem a little sacrilegious, but it works so well. It's so complex and layered and rich and. It's a great, you're selling this really hard.
I feel like as someone who's not typically a pumpkin beer person, that one sounds pretty good.
And yeah, it's a gorgeous beer. And even though it's not really my jam, it is my jam. So that's a strong sign of a well-made beer.
And Chris, it's called Pumpkin Spice Veneration.
Veneration, yes. Okay. And from Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan.
Veneration or Benner?
V is in Victor.
Veneration.
Oh, it is Veneration.
Yep.
Okay.
Veneration.
I would buy one just for that.
Just for the name?
Just for the name.
There you go.
Great respect, reverence.
Yes, for pumpkin spice.
All right. Well, moving on to the other job that you have beyond, you know, talking about beer every month with us, talking about beer in your column. You also are an editor of a magazine. And yesterday... It was yesterday, right? That it was Milwaukee Magazine Day?
It sure was.
There you go.
Only in the city of Milwaukee, though.
Only, yeah. Yes. That would make sense.
Yeah. we asked the mayor to do a proclamation and make it an official Milwaukee Magazine Day, celebrating our 40th anniversary. We had a little party out of Brewers game, and it was great talking to readers, and I got to read the proclamation in a dramatic reading with all the whereases and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So was that the first one? Was yesterday?
The first
ever Milwaukee Magazine Day?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I
mean, maybe, so now is it an annual thing?
One back in like 1986 or something. But yeah, this is this, as far as we can tell, this is the first time we've done it.
So. All right. Well, that congratulations.
Thanks to Mayor Cavalier Johnson for and his office for making that happen.
Well, and 40 years, that's quite an accomplishment.
Especially with magazines. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, magazines are so like so much of the media landscape that has changed quickly and needed to be nimble and evolve. Like to be, still be a magazine that is a printed magazine, that is a hard copy that you go buy, that people subscribe to, and you guys are still kicking. And like that is not an easy feat in today's day and age.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, we've been kind of reflecting on it. We had a big feature on our anniversary back in January, and I don't know. I'm just really. It's going to sound really cheesy, but I'm really proud of what we do with the magazine. You know, it's compelling and I mean, obviously I'm a little biased, but I enjoy reading our magazine and I hope everybody else does.
I mean, we do.
You can celebrate. It's not officially Milwaukee Magazine Day anymore, but you can always celebrate, you know.
Well,
you can celebrate today.
We do. And I would say all my friends who to transition quickly, I know of enough of my friends that still subscribe and also still enjoy reading it, because that was how I found out, was through pictures of the magazine that the long shot new kid on the block won for Reader's Choice for favorite radio host, which I was not expecting. But that was a very nice surprise. And then I immediately texted you and goes, "You didn't want to tell me, man?"
I couldn't, but it's under embargo. It's all a big secret thing. Yeah, we have our best of Milwaukee feature every September, and you know, the Reader's Choice poll is part of that. People were voting in I think May and June on that, and you beat out some pretty heavy hitters there. So
some who have won before, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, yeah.
You know, it's funny. We mix up the categories every year. So it's not like, you know, you probably will not be able to defend your title next year, but you know, but hey, I mean, it's a big deal. And I think it's something to be really proud of.
It is. I am incredibly proud of it.
Brian Kristen.
I am incredibly proud of it. It was, I the imposter syndrome in me kept trying to find reasons like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, I asked people on social media, and Mark Belling probably didn't. He just probably doesn't even know how to use social media. No, I'm joking. But no, I am very happy. I'm very grateful that I was even nominated in the first place, and I'm very grateful that to everyone who voted, and that it is. I can put that on my metaphorical mantle.
There you go. It's very exciting. It really is. Really is.
I'll have to make up I'll also make up like a physical award for you somehow.
Perfect.
It might be really lame and kind of like.
That's even better, Chris.
Get your craft on, Chris.
Yeah. Lame is even better.
Get your craft going here.
All right. Well, Chris Drosser, it is always so much fun to have you on the show. I will see you when I get back from maternity leave, because this will be the last time for a little bit that we have you on. But always great to have you. Go get the most recent issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Maybe try out some of that pumpkin beer. But Chris Drosner, I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Kristen.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Got to warm up the tracks of coke. Sweet paint bone in my mama. Dream to be happy. Well, it takes up. Now you don't go out and bring me down. Sometimes they try to bring me down.
Hey y'all, this is Ronte, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the pimento cheese. I was like, go cheese, go pimento, go honey, go get it.
Hi, this is Chantrese, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the mild spiciness of the pickled jalapenos. No, it's the crispy chicken. Actually, I can't decide. It's the entire sandwich.
Order the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today, available for a limited time. Real Chick-fil-A guests paid for their testimonials.
Test your home.
for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear sky this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 69. Southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 53. High temperatures reach up to 74. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance for scattered storms Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. Chance for scattered rain showers and highs in the mid 60s on Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And Jane, did you miss three headlines and a lie?
I did.
Did you? So do you want to do it?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I was ready to punt it. I don't think Greg liked it as much.
No.
Well, he was either feigning that he didn't like it because he doesn't like being wrong. Oh, or he's just playing along that character, or I think he just didn't really like it.
I have no problem with being wrong.
All right. Let's play it then, because we haven't played it in like 3 weeks.
All right.
All right. As always, three of these headlines are real, one is fake, and Jane has to pick which one is the fake one.
See if I can get the structure correct this time.
All right. Number one, Lauren Boebert escorted out of Beetlejuice musical after allegedly vaping, recording on her phone.
I know that's true.
I know that's true, too.
And the detail that I saw last night, or it might have been this morning, she was vaping next to a pregnant woman.
Oh my gosh.
Who complained. And at one point, she called her, Boebert called her a pathetic human being or something like that. And there's also footage of her being escorted out of
that,
the theater.
Yeah.
That dress that she was wearing. Girl, you need some infrastructure.
Yes. Venue officials say the Republican congresswoman was causing a disturbance during the performance by vaping, singing, and recording from the audience.
What a lovely person.
Boebert's campaign denies the vaping allegation.
Oh, okay. But everything else is accurate.
All right. So now you're down to...
My odds are better.
Odds are better. Three options.
Excellent.
All right. Number two. SEC files charges against NFT project, quote, Stoner Cats, starring Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more.
Hmm.
So I'll read that again because it's a little confused.
Yes.
SEC files charges against NFT project called Stoner Cats, which stars Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more.
All right. And SEC is the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Number three. New AirPods Max will alert you when you need to clean wax out of your ears. That's a pretty good one. If it's not real, I wish it would be.
It should be. That is a valuable service that I think I like that one.
All right. And then number four, Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever homes.
I'm confused. Read it again.
I'm also confused. Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs.
Okay.
To help find them forever homes. So that's the name. It's capital A-I-B-O. So Aibo robot dogs. So Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever home. So your options are SEC files charges against NFT project Stoner Cats starring Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more. Number three, new AirPod Max will alert you when you need to clean wax out of your ears.
So good.
I like that. Yeah. Max and wax also rhymes. Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever home.
I don't care if I have this correct or not, but I'm going with the earwax earphones.
Being fake?
Being fake.
It is fake.
It is.
It is.
See, I knew it was too good to be true.
Too good to be true. Yeah. If we have the technology for an aging Aibo robot dog, you'd think we'd have the technology to have AirPods tell you when to clean your ears.
Can we have priorities, please? Just prioritize a couple of things.
So there's probably recommendations anyways. Like when your AirPods start looking dirty, since they're white, that's probably your sign.
But
clean them and your ears.
But that's not, I wish that were true, but that's not necessarily true because the earwax buildup
is further
can
in.
Can be much further in.
But you're also not supposed to use Q-tips.
I know.
So and what are you supposed, you're supposed to get those like drips, drops that, there's those drip drops that dissolve the wax in your ear. Is that the best and healthiest way to clean your
or
ears?
Or you go to the doctor and they flush it out
How
for you.
How much does that cost?
I don't know.
Does insurance cover it?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. If it's actually practical, why would they cover it?
If you have suggestions on the healthiest way to clean your ears besides sticking a Q-tip down there, 844-967-2789. I've yet to be told how you're actually supposed to clean your ears.
I mean, what do you do with Q-tips? Babies?
I don't know. I should probably find that out.
You should probably find that out.
Along with my CPR class. I did get one of my baby shower gifts was this like Frida nose sucker, which one of our callers actually once called in and recommended.
Said it's useful.
And said it's very useful. Oh, I should probably preview that. So long as baby, and we'll come back because you still have to. Oh, you won. Never mind. You won. Preview for next, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. So long as baby doesn't come early.
Right.
Which Jane.
She's not going to do.
Exactly. We're going to do the same thing we did right before I got married. My husband, Michael Sampson, is going to join for the show on September 22nd. And we're going to take your, it's not unsolicited because we're asking for it.
Yep.
We're going to take your,
bring it on.
Your solicited best parenting advice on Friday, September 22nd, my last day of the show.
A
week from tomorrow. We did this right before we got married. A year ago, August 19th? I think it was literally the day before we got married. So yeah, we would love to hear your parenting advice, even if it's for babies or whether or not they're older. Love to hear from you. He and I will have some conversation on the things we're most excited or nervous about. But we had that realization the other weekend. I was like, not this weekend, but next weekend. We're like, this is the last weekend we have where it's just us.
The two of you.
Forever.
And Cliffy.
Yep. And Cliffy. I don't know if Cliffy's ready. I don't really know if he gets it or not.
Cliffy's pretty old.
I think he's going to be good with it.
I think so too.
He's very good with kids.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great.
All right. Well, today was fun. It was a little, we have, like we said, we are still.
That's some new things going on back here.
We got new things. We got new technology. But I would say I think I sound incredible.
I agree.
The clarity.
I agree.
It's like I'm in the room with you.
I know. And I can actually sort of, I can hear myself.
Which is great.
That's a useful thing. Yes.
So we want to thank Dr. Kristen Lierley, as always, for being here on Thursdays with us and hopes she has a safe flight to Arizona. Thank you, Chris Drosner. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. I know we didn't get to everyone's texts. I'm sure there will probably be a new chapter of the saga tomorrow
that
we can weigh in on of what's happening in Madison between the impeachment, nonpartisan redistricting. I'll let you know whether or not I decide to respond to Rick Essenberg. So come back tomorrow again at 10 a.m. when we will do this all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. No deception, not a bigger spree. That much is true.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always ABC streaming News, on the I'm Civic Dave Media Packer. App.